Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Parshas Bekurei Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Bekurei. The topic of our Aliyah is making the Me'il, the Kasonis, the Mitznefes, the Avnet, and the Tzitz, most of the Big Day Kahuna, which is part of our Aliyah. Our Aliyah is 11 Psukim long, running from Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Chof Beis to Lamed Beis. We hear about the creation of these different elements, and we've heard about them before in Parshas Tetzaveh. We hear about the Me'il, this is this blue tunic, which is worn under the Ephod, and we hear about the gap for the headspace, and we hear about at the bottom of the fringes about again these rimonim and these paamonim, bells and pomegranates, these little balls of wool which were the interdispersed or one in the other as well, as we saw beforehand. Then we hear about the kasonis, which is made of linen. It seems to be a basic shirt which is underneath the me'il and for the regular kohanim. And then we have the mitznefes sheish. The mitznefes is the hat, which is worn by the Kohen Gadol, and the regular Kohanim, the Migbaos Sheish. Then the Michnasei Bad, also their pants, which they were worn as well. We then hear about the Tzitz, the Nezer HaKodesh, which is this crown of holiness, which is worn by the Kohen. It was written on it, engraved Kodesh LaHashem, holy to God. And over it was these blue strings, which were tied into place, and all the melacha was finished. Vatechal kol ha'avodah, avodas mishkan ha'olmoed. All the work was finished by Asur b'nei Israel, and Israel did as they were commanded by Moshe. So a few basic points to ponder. Number one is, why does it describe, when describing the hats of the Kohanim, was it called Pa'arei HaMigvaos? It's a new word, we haven't seen this one before. Why is this? Yes, the Ramban says this is because from the word Pe'er, like a jewel, they look like jewels upon their heads. Rashi says they look like crowns. They were endowed with crowns that were serving the nation of Israel. You'll notice something interesting, and that is if you look at the actual materials of some of the Big Day Kohuna, they are made of shatnez. So there's linen and there is wool. As the Ramban points out in Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Kilayim, Perek Yud Halacha Beis, that the Avnet in our Aliyah, which we talked about, is made of shatnez. And therefore, the Kohen would have to be very careful not to wear it outside of their Avodah, outside of their temple service, otherwise they would be wearing shatnez, which outside of us is not allowed. The Ravid asks on the Rambam, the later colleague of the Rambam, why would that be? Why would he choose only the Avnet? There were other begodim, there were other adornments which were also made of shatnez. The Radbaz, a later commentary on the Rambam, explains that because the Avnet, the belt, was worn by all Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol had four extra clothes, but the belt was one of the clothes that was shatnez, worn by the regular Kohen. The Beis Halevi takes the Radbaz one step further and explains that because the Avnet had only one function, that was for a regular Kohen to wear his clothing to do the Avodah, that's why it's being mentioned that he should be careful when his Avodah finishes not to wear it anymore. Whereas when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, that's a little different. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, even when he's perhaps not bringing incense or cleaning something or opening the gates or singing, when he's not doing any of the Avodah, they're actually just wearing the actual garments themselves, provide a certain level of atonement for a particular sense, and therefore there's a value to it even independently of doing the specific Avodah as well. Very interesting perspective to note, and we learn this from Arali as well. Now, where do the tzitz live exactly? The tzitz live, this head plate. So it does sound like a type of keser, like a crown. And it says that the tzitz is al hamitznefes, on the hat. Now, Rashi points out that it can't be on the hat because another passage describes that it was on his forehead. So how did it work exactly? So Rashi explains that it was on his forehead, then above it there was the tefillin, because the Kohen Gadol wore a tefillin, and then there were two blue strings attached to the top, the Messiah, and each of the sides, and they were tied around the back. So the strings would go over the mitznefes of the hat of Aaron HaKohen and tie it at the back as well. Finally, as we conclude this aliyah, we hear the phrase "Vateichel kol ha'avodas mishkan oymoed." The work was completed. Why does it describe it in such a passive description? So the first and most obvious idea is, says Aruch HaKadosh, is that it was exactly as it was commanded by God. Nothing more, nothing less. It was almost like this passivity to the command of God. Another explanation that Aruch HaKadosh suggests is that there were certain things that were made with divine assistance. So for example, like the menorah. So it's not fair to say that we made the menorah. No, the menorah was made by Teichel. It was completed. Finally, the third perspective given by the Aruch HaKadosh is that it is also an expression of kilui, which is from the word kalsa nafshi, my desire, my passion. This was not just made because we had to, but this was done with a deep-seated passion for doing what was correct. The Baal HaTorim actually quotes a Midrash Rabbah, which says that with the completion of the Mishkan, the world was completed. That means to say that all of creation was waiting for this metaphysical structure to exist to ratify its creation as well. As an interesting aside, the gematria, says the Baal HaTurim, of this last phrase of Yavatechel Kol Avada, is the gematria of Esrim V'Chamesh B'Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, which is when all of this is completed. We know that this is waited until, as the Midrash Rabbah says, until Nisan to be inaugurated, but the completion actually was on the 25th of Kislev, and therefore the missing dedication that could have happened on the 25th of Kislev waited for a later dedication on that date. That was when the Chashmonai rededicated the Beis HaMikdash in the future. So that date was special long before Hanukkah came around as well, a date of dedication, which is the which is what the word Hanukkah actually means. Now, finally, one last question is, it says that Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, all of Israel did what Hashem said. That's not really true, because they didn't do all of this. They gave a superintendent, they gave Bezalel and Oliab and a group of artisans the permission to do it, so it wasn't really them doing it. So the Sfarnas says, well, they all donated, they were all shareholders, so therefore they made them part of it. And this is important, because in life we don't always have the opportunity of doing everything ourselves, but we can certainly support the things that are important, even if we can't do it ourselves personally. But the Racham HaKadosh says perhaps that there's another explanation, and that is that really the artisans did do this, but as representatives of the people, it was as if metaphysically they were able to do this. In a similar way, we know that no single Jew can fulfill all the 613 commandments. It's not possible, and therefore we have to rely on each other. We have to rely on those who are kings, those who are farmers, those who are Kohanim, those who are Leviim, those who are men, those who are women, people who are not necessarily within our zonal space, and the mitzvahs which do not relate to specifically to us. For us to fulfill the 613 mitzvahs, we need to be able to rely on other people, because they are part of our, we'll call it, communal identity. In the same way over here, B'nai Yisrael was learning lessons, as the Aruchama says, of V'ahavta l'reacha kamoecha, that in order to be able to achieve great things, we need to achieve them together. And that's the only way we can move forward. With this, we conclude the Aliyah. In the meantime, a wonderful and meaningful day.